And now, the best of Pete Price. The best of Pete Price. On Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, I call the programme tonight, how would you describe where you lived? And it's one of our topics tonight, but it's an important, because you know that I love the Wirral with a passion. I love Liverpool with a passion. I thought, who'd you get on as a guest on this? Who possibly could you have on that would be interested, that knows what he's talking about? You don't even need a second name for this man. It's Fred. Hello, Fred.
Hello. This is actually quite exciting because I don't think we've ever met.
We haven't, and we've sort of crossed paths.
I heard you obviously on the radio for, well, years. Sorry. Yes.
No. You're right the first time. Fred, I am, without any shadow of a doubt, a fan. I love Where's Fred. I love the bubble car because I used to have one.
Oh, my. You know, they're worth a fortune now.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I used to have a little blue one when I was 21 years old, which was 100 years ago.
And we both love where we work.
We do indeed.
You know, we live in a fantastic area.
Fred!
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, anyway,
the amazing thing about this feature that you do is it really is huge. It is so popular. Everybody loves it. Why is that, do you reckon?
I think because, one, we film it rather well. We've got some quite good camera lens, so it looks nice. And also, I'd like to think a lot of ITV competitions are what I call drivel. You know, you can work out the answer. We make this quite hard. I know it's not a competition. It's a fun, and all you can win is seeing your name if you're looking on the screen. But we make it difficult. And about 20% of the people who write in or email in are actually wrong. That's part of the fun.
Well, it is indeed. And it's getting bigger and bigger as we go on. Are you running out of places yet?
No. Funny, I was just talking to somebody about that this morning. No, surprisingly not, because there's an awful lot of places we haven't been to. Do you know, I haven't done Liverpool as a city. We did Walton a few weeks ago. Mm. And again, another discovery. I mean, you know Walton. I knew Walton. I passed through it. You spend 3 hours there and you see things that you've never seen before.
Well, that's what's amazing about you, Fred, because you're doing something you absolutely love, but you're also learning every time you do it.
Terrifically. You know, like we've done Hoylake. No, I haven't done Hoylake. I've done West Kirby. I've done New Brighton. We haven't done Hoylake yet. We did it in the original version of this program about 20 years ago, but we did it in a totally different way. So, yeah, Hoylake's on my list.
Fred, tell us how it works. Describe the team and where you go and team. The meetings.
Right,
the other person.
Right, the other person. We have a cameraman and me and the car, of course. What I do is, a few days before, I used to always film them on Wednesdays, but I've now, for boring reasons, switched to Fridays, and I have to do two. So, like, I'll be out filming this Friday. I've already picked two places. And what I do is I spend quite a long time finding facts. Sometimes you go nowhere. You know, you work for ages or something. It's like, for instance, I did Knutsford last year. What are we doing again? I found out something about Knutsford today that I would definitely have used. And it was during the last war, General Patton, you know, the American general.
Yeah.
He was based in Knutsford. I knew that. But what I didn't know is near the end of the war, he made a speech there, and it went down very badly. It actually ruined his career.
Wow.
And he did it, and it's actually listed in history text as the Knutsford Incident.
Really?
Yeah. All that happened was, he said, after the war, Britain, America and Russia will be major powers, and that offended a few Americans.
Now, is the car yours?
No, it's one of my neighbours. He lives down the road, he's got an absolute passion, and if you bump into him, he will tell you that he's my mechanic. But no, it's not mine. I wouldn't have the patience. It's an original 1956 car. So Lawrence brings the car along. We actually tow it on its wheels, so we don't put too much wear and tear in the engine.
Yeah.
So we don't put it on a trailer, but we tow it. It's real fun going down the motorway. You've got all these cars going past beeping the horns.
I paid £100 for mine when I was 21.
Oh, that's, well, obviously it's only 10 years ago, but £100 10 years ago was quite a lot of money.
It was indeed, it was indeed.
Now they're worth about £20,000 a pound.
Good heavens. Tell me, who thought of the idea of using the
me,
car?
Me, I'm afraid, me.
What made you think of it?
It goes back, you know, we're talking about nearly 20 years to the origins of this, when we used to do it like a six-week batch and then do it twice a year. And it was just the idea I needed a vehicle. I just thought you could just turn up and place and walk around. But I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we had like a little gimmick on top? And I think it worked. I think it really adds to it. And what people see when we try and get the car in, it might just be a bit of car. We often talk about, let's get a bit of red in. And just so we've got a corner of the car, it just gives this idea, a bit of continuity.
Now, do people write to you saying, come here, come there?
We do get that, yes. Sometimes it works. I hate to say it, very often they've not really thought. They've got some fantastic fact about one place, but there's nothing else. I mean, I don't want to mention any names, but somebody sent me in one recently. I thought, this is superb. But all there was really, it was quite a small place, was the church. Beyond that, I couldn't find another fact. And I always say to people, I need 7 bits of information to create something. And you'd be surprised how often that slightly bigger places are often harder to do. It's a smaller place, like Thornton Hoof. We did Thornton Hoof 2 or 3 years ago. That was, one, it's fantastic, you know Thornton Hoof.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just absolutely spectacular visually, and that's important. But I could get the facts as well.
What I love is I now have started visiting your places. So not only is it a nice feature, but people you're helping tourism.
We know loads of people who follow. They actually go a few days later, and then they write into me and say, "Oh, wish we enjoyed it," or "Wasn't quite as good as we'd hoped for." You know, that sort of thing. They're very honest. But yes, we live in a fantastic part of the world, and there's these hidden gems. I mean, I went to a place. Oh, I can't tell you where it is because it goes out. It hasn't been done. But I'd never heard of it, and it was one of my neighbours, and she's a great dog walker. And there's a little booklet out about dog walks and afternoon teas in Lancashire or something.
Mm.
It sounds quite good. Anyway, this place was mentioned. She'd been there. It was a hidden gem, and I hate to use that word. Mm. Unbelievable. I could give you a clue, though, if you think of a small church and larger than a village. I'll leave you with that.
Right. How long does it take to film?
Do 2 in a day. Each one takes about 3 and a half hours.
How many have you got in the can?
At any one time, usually about 6 or 7.
Wow.
The problem comes when we film in November, where the day is very short. You can't really start much before 9:30.
Mm.
And we've really got a motor on. And we have this tradition as well. When we do these films, we always have fish and chips. So I've got to find a local chippy. It's just become a tradition. I should really have kept a list of all the chippies because we've eaten good and bad.
I was going to say, that's a programme on itself.
Well, yeah, I've done actually very well. I mean, you know, because they do vary, as we all know. There's a very good one, though, in West Kirby, which we'll
there is indeed.
You know the
no,
one
I know
of,
exactly. I go there. It's fantastic, chippy.
Yes, we've been in there a few times.
And there's always queues outside. Why do you think, Fred, why do you think it's so successful, this particular strand?
I think because people in this part of the world are interested in where they live. It would not work in London. I'm convinced it wouldn't work in London. They would have no interest at all. People here genuinely are interested in the attractiveness of places, the history. I mean, they have a passion for the history. I mean, I'll tell you what we did at Rock Ferry. I'd never been to Rock Ferry. I mean, you pass on the bypass, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've been to it. It is unbelievable. You've got these Victorian mansions down the side of the river.
That's right. It's a wonderful waterfront.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they're trying to get some money to restore. It would have been the promenade at one time there. It's now sort of concrete, well, broken concrete. But that's what people love, those little hidden things. And people say, I never knew that. And over the years of doing this, we've come up with some absolute crackers.
Now, I'm asking people to describe tonight where you live. So give them some tips. How should they do it?
Where I actually live.
No, I'm asking people out there, all my listeners tonight, to say, you know, where do you live and why is it so nice? And so tell them, how should they do it?
I think they've got to be very descriptive. They've got to actually imagine in their head that they're walking around the places they'd actually talking about. So, like, for instance, I live in Altrincham, or just near Altrincham, and I think a highlight for me there, I'm not religious, but there's a fantastic old church. And just to walk through the graveyard, looking at the gravestones, any season of the year is absolutely incredible, and one of the great pleasures.
I think one of the reasons the feature works as well, Fred, is your enthusiasm, because you're passionate about everything, whether it's the plants, whether you're cooking, whether you're doing the weather, you are passionate, and that comes over loud and clear in the only thing is, you always make me jump when you go to the screen and go, so where am I?
But again, you see, that evolved. It wasn't like we planned. I mean, you'll notice we do that as an ending every week.
Yeah.
That evolved. It's a bit like, you know, and do the weather and say, and what have we got for tonight? Well, that actually had a reason for being there in the past. It was to allow people in the, you know, the box to cue something up. It's stuck. I'm stuck with it.
Have you been to one place where you, I mean, because I know you love these hidden gems and your passion, as I say, comes over loud and clear. But have you been to one place where you've gone, this is absolutely freaking me out because it was so nice?
Oh, quite a few. Where would I think of? Well, I mean, I love Thornton Hoof. I think Thornton Hoof is your your English village in the north of England, isn't it? You know, the cricket green and all that. Do you know, Port Sunlight? Funny enough, I hadn't been there for years and went back last year and we did some there. And I'd forgotten how nice Port Sunlight is. Because, again, by the very nature of doing this, you're walking around a place, so you're seeing those sort of things. Walton, I thought, was fantastic.
Is it difficult to cram so much into short spots?
Yeah, that can be a problem. It's slightly, I won't say annoys me, I'm not easily annoyed, but occasionally in editing they have to remove things. Just no room for it. I said, why didn't you leave that one in? But you just got to go to other people's judgments, which are usually better than mine anyway. They'll pick things that work.
Well, not always, Fred, because us presenters sometimes get it right and sometimes our people behind us don't.
Well, you're right. I am lucky here, though, that you know the chap who edits it is no spring chicken, if you know what I mean. In this business now, as you know, the average age can be about 21. I think everyone involved in this has got a bit of a passion for it. I mean, how long it will run for, I don't know. I mean, that is the honest answer. I mean, still so. See, I've done Southport. What am I talking about? I was going to say I haven't done Southport. I have done Southport, but I haven't done Birkdale, things like that. You know, there's so many places.
But you can go back to a place, can't you, and go down a different street, and you're in a different world.
When you're going back 20 years, we have revisited. So we do it in a totally different way. When I started doing this, it was a three-man crew, you know, the sound engineer, electrician, all that. We're now down to one person. In some ways, that makes it easier. And why the cameraman love working on this is you can break all the rules. You know, you could have a plump plot growing out of my head. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's a real team effort. We'll get together and say, look, we'll put that one in. That's a clue. Because a lot of it you plan before you go, but a lot you actually do when you're on the ground. You'll spot something, you think, that's a good one.
Fred, I've got to ask while you're on, because we're in the summer and I'm in this tower and I have the most wonderful sunset at quarter. And you know what? This is how important you are in my life. I always check to find out what time the sunset is tonight to see whether...
9:33 tonight.
Well, I have to see.
No, from the height of the tower, it's actually going to be a little bit later, probably about 30 seconds.
Well, I come in then earlier to see the sunsets, because from here, 450 foot high is spectacular. It takes my breath away and I wouldn't miss it every night, and I love it. So I always listen to you. Now, I was going to ask about the weather. How briefly can you tell us how it works when you say it's going to be a nice day, etc.?
Right. Well, I'm actually sat in this place now. What I've got in front of me is obviously a computer. I don't know if this comes over the internet and all that. But what I make use of, I got all the data coming from the Met Office, but I'm clicking away on a mouse now. What I can actually see as we speak is exactly where it is raining anywhere in Europe, which is phenomenal. Right. At the moment, there isn't any, or certainly none in our part of the world. But also, what I make use of are webcams, like the Isle of Man, which we covered to. The Isle of Man has got six fantastic webcams. So, like, in the morning, I often check and see, is it misty over Douglas? Because they often get mist there in the harbour. It's all the information is there. What you've then got to do is interpret it. That's the hardest thing, to sort of say, you know, what's going to happen over the next few hours. What we've also got in our part of the world are some amazing microclimates. You know, there's a reason for Southport being a resort, a reason for Llandudno being a resort. Basically, they get slightly better weather. And all this goes together. And you just try your best. But, I mean, occasionally, like this morning, it was a little bit misty at first, and that mist took a long time to clear inland. I mean, it was misty down to Hoylake earlier on this morning. That's a harder one to work out.
Well, of course, I watched that mist form last night, because that's when it happened at 2 o'clock when I left. You couldn't see out the tower.
And the reason why, I must admit I got that wrong this morning, I should have realised with all that rain yesterday, the air was very moist. And once the air starts cooling down, it's got water in it, that water's got to appear. And, of course, that's what produced the mist. So I actually made a slight error.
Now, tell me, in general, this part of the world is quite mild, isn't it, for weather?
Oh, yes. I'm also, I mean, although there's a running joke that everyone says, it's very wet here. It's not. I mean, you know, we have a higher rainfall than the eastern side of Britain, but it's nothing colossal. But no, we don't get the extremes. I mean, this winter was peculiar, wasn't it? I mean, you know, we don't get snow like that.
Very strange, very strange. Now, I live on the Wirral. I used to live in West Kirby. My favourite place in the whole world is Hilbury Island, and always has been. And
I've never walked out there. We've always been taken out there. You know, they take you out in that little truck. But, I mean, it's a magical place, isn't it?
It is indeed, and I grew up there. So Sunday was the day we'd all go out, and we'd go over to Hilbury Island listening to Sing Something Simple on the radio.
Oh, God, I can remember that.
And then Top of the Pops coming back. But why I mention it is, I was always told that Hilbury Island is down a little bit compared to Wales and the Wirral. So that is so hot in the summer because it's protected by the Welsh mountains.
It will be, yes, that whole area. I mean, you know what it's like in the Wirral, that peculiar light you get because you've got water on three sides when the tide's in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, you'd be amazed at the tiny variations. You only go a mile or two down a coast around the northwest and you've got totally different weather. And I mean, the island out there is, yes, it gets the shelter and there's something quite special about it.
Fred, you cook, you look after plants, you do the weather, you've got everything else. How do you fit it all in?
You do. I've got a passion for life. I mean, I'm not saying I'm cheerful all the time. Ever since I was about 18, I've had these little bouts of where I feel very low for a day or two. But you just got to keep going, haven't you?
Simple as that.
I mean, I always got great believers. If you tell somebody who I'm fed up and all that, they're not interested. They might sort of say, oh, I'm terribly sorry. They're not really interested.
No.
But people want to see you being cheerful.
Right, Fred, I've taken an awful lot of your time. I've got to ask you before you go. I was going to ask you to tell us where your favourite top three places have been. Hard question.
Top three places. I would definitely go. Thornton Hough would be in there.
Yep.
Maybe Thornton Hough with, do you know, I'm gonna go for the Merseyside area. I'm going to put Rock Ferry in there because it was a complete and utter shock.
Wow.
Because, I mean, I really said to him, if they've never been there in years, they must go and the residents of Rock Ferry would be furious, all these people walking up and down. I was just so impressed with it.
Yeah.
And I think I would go for Walton because, again, I thought Walton was a hidden gem. I hate using the word. It is. I mean, for instance, you know, the churchyard. I never knew there was actually an Eleanor Rigby grave.
Right.
I thought it was just something made up. I found Walton absolutely fascinating. I could have spent a lot longer there. And also, everyone was so chatty as well. So number one, I think, would probably have to be Thornton Hough.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. And just before you go, without telling us where you live, describe what you see when you look out your window.
In the morning, right, I overlook an old graveyard. And a lot of people say, oh, isn't that awful? It's never bothered me. And that runs up a slight hill to the church which sits on the top. Now, a lot of people think, oh, the church is ancient. Actually, the Victorians rebuilt it. But the origins are very old indeed. And quite often you'll see a fox in there in the morning. I just love it. And that's why, you know, all the stuff when this morning moved down south and people said there's a lot of pressure to move. And they're like, what am I going to go down? I don't know anyone.
I'm glad you didn't go anyway. We would have lost you, simple as that.
The thing about Alton, I mean, the thing about it is to commute every day to Liverpool, I mean, it's 45 miles. Mm. Yeah.
And tell me your emotions when you were on the map and the nude man went past.
It was weird. I still have problems watching that, you know. I actually initially, because I saw him jump before anyone else realised what had happened.
Right.
Now, this is going to sound very silly. I thought, is he going to slightly throw me in or something like that?
Right.
I was actually slightly scared.
Yeah, I understand that. I would be as well. I mean, you must miss the map.
Oh, tremendously. But, you know, it was 13 years. That's a long time.
That was 13 years.
Wow. And when you think that show, I mean, you know my views, it should never have been taken to London.
Yeah.
What it did was we changed the history of TV. We produced from Liverpool the original daytime show with a huge audience. And that was in the early days of the Albert Docks that brought crowds of tourists to the dock. And where else could you see live TV every day?
Incredible. And also, us as a radio station, we had a knock-on effect because we had some incredible famous people to interview.
Of course, yeah. I mean, why take it down there? And now, if you look at it, it's just, I'll get in trouble, but it's just a boring daytime show, isn't
it? Yeah, couldn't agree with you more.
No.
And when you were a young man, did you ever think your life would go this way?
No. But that's the exciting thing about life, isn't it? You don't know what's going to happen.
Fred Talbot, I just really want to do this interview. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. I've actually enjoyed it. And every time I look at the tower, I'll think of you up there looking at your sunset.
The best of Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.